This morning's Bible reading is Psalm 27, starting at verse 7. It'd be really helpful if you want to grab a pew Bible and join me in reading this together. You can find this on page 557. Psalm 27, and we're going to start reading from verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. So wait for the Lord.
Well, good morning. Do please keep that passage open in front of you, Psalm 27. We began to look at this last week, this psalm, and my guess is that the first half is more familiar to you. Certainly the first verse for many of you will be more familiar. But we saw last week this psalm written by David, slayer of Goliath, king of Israel, who often faced hard times, who often had reason to cry out to God for help. And last week we saw his confidence in the Lord. That's what really comes through in verses 1 to 6. We started with that question taken from the old question and answer system that churches used to use, the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And we heard David's confident answer to that question. His confidence in the Lord. His confidence that whatever came his way, he was ready. He was standing firm because of his knowledge of the Lord. But in the second half of the psalm, there's a different tone. There's a real shift from verse 6 to verse 7. And I think that's helpful to us. From the familiar half of the psalm, we switch into this more unfamiliar half, but it, in many ways, resonates more with our experience. We don't always feel the confidence of verses 1 to 6. We often have wakeful nights, or as the hymn puts it, days of darkness still come on me. Sorrow's paths I often tread. And sometimes it feels like God is distant. He's not answering. Sometimes we begin to wonder, is he against us and not for us? Is he paying me back for what I have or haven't or should or shouldn't have done? Do you hear the fear in David's voice? Verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Is he listening? I'm praying and nothing's changing. Is God there? I know I don't deserve his favour. I'm dependent on his mercy, but does he hear me? My heart says of you, verse 8, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. I've nowhere else to turn. Instinctively, I know that in this crisis, I must turn towards you. But I feel lost from you. Indeed, it seems like you're hiding from me. Is this happening to punish me? Do not hide your face from me. Verse 9. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. You alone can help me. You have in the past. And even when all others let me down, surely you won't, Lord, will you? Don't my father and mother forsake me. The Lord will receive me, won't he? You are faithful and merciful and loving, aren't you? And so again, David pleads with the Lord. He asks the Lord to change his circumstances, verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. The Psalms give us words for all occasions. They're rich in real life. They don't ignore the reality of things that are hard that come our way. Here in the Psalms, we have words for those desperate times. Those times where it seems as if God is against us. And the Psalms give us permission to voice our fears, to cry out to God who seems far off. They give us words to help with those prayers. And that's helpful, isn't it? There's real life here. There's connection here. The Bible doesn't ignore real life or struggle or turmoil or pain. No, it helps. And this psalm, written by David a long time ago, we read now through the lens of knowing about the Lord Jesus. And so as we read this psalm, we can bring something extra, or indeed the Lord Jesus brings something extra to this psalm. He brings us into this psalm. And he helps us through. I want us to see two things from this psalm. The first is this. In days of darkness, look at the cross. And know that God will never leave you or forsake you. That's the fear in this psalm, isn't it? Is God against me? Has he turned his face from me? Will he forsake me and hand me over to my enemies? In both Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel, the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, they record Jesus' words on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And they give us the translation because we wouldn't understand the Aramaic. It means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, what David fears in Psalm 27, what we might fear in days of darkness, was true for Jesus on the cross. In taking our sin upon himself, in facing the wrath of God, there was a sense in which his Father's face was turned away. And because of that truth, because of that reality in history, this is true. Because Jesus was forsaken, if we trust him, we won't be. And so Paul's words in the book of Romans are true. Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For, says Paul, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of the cross. That's why that's true. When circumstances are against us, when life is hard, when we wonder and we cry out, we can look at the cross and know if we're trusting in Jesus, God won't forsake us. He won't turn his back on us. He won't reject us. No matter what we've done in the past, if we come to him through the Lord Jesus and look at the cross and know that there our punishment has been paid, there is forgiveness, then we can know God will never leave us or forsake us. If your days are dark at the moment and you're wondering, look at the cross. Look at the cross. God is for you, not against you. He loves you. And because the Lord Jesus was forsaken, you never will be. Last week we thought about gazing at the gospel. Do you remember that from the first half? Gaze at the gospel, gaze at the Lord Jesus. Spend time to look. This week it's the same idea, to look at the cross. Have you taken it in this week? Not in the past, not months ago or years ago. Have you taken it in this week? Have you taken it in this morning, what the Lord Jesus did for you on the cross? Look at the cross and the confidence of verses 1 to 6 will return. And you'll say with David in verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Secondly, in days of darkness, look at the resurrection. And know that God will bring you through to see his goodness in the land of the living. I often turn to different books to help me with trying to understand what's going on in a passage in the Bible. And I was reading some from Matthew Henry this week, who was a 17th century minister. He said this of this section. Those that walk by faith in the goodness of the Lord shall in due time walk in the sight of that goodness. In other words, we don't always see the goodness of the Lord in this life. We see it by faith. We trust he's good. We look back at the cross. But one day we will see with our eyes, the goodness of the Lord. It is his comfort, not so much that he shall see the land of the living, as he shall see the goodness of the Lord in it. So that is the comfort of all creature comforts to a gracious soul. In heaven is that land that may truly be called the land of the living. The earth is the land of the dying. There is nothing like the believing hope of eternal life to keep us from fainting under all the calamities of this present time. How true is that? Now, this life isn't as bad as it might be for many of us, but the longer we go on, we see that this is a life of calamities. The earth is the land of the dying. Heaven is the land of the living, which will last forever. Matthew Henry is famous. I guess lots of you got hold of his commentary. If you go back in time, it was the commentary, the book to go to. He wrote about the whole Bible. You can read through what he said on all of the Bible. But these verses here, just really pertinent when he captured. I thought I need to find out a bit more about Matthew Henry. I know his name, not exactly sure when he lived, what his life was like. And reading through his life story, he understood what it is to struggle and suffer. Married fairly young, his first baby died within days. His wife died soon afterwards. In total, he had 9 children, and several of them died very young. This isn't theory, what he describes. This is rooted in experience. Just like Psalm 27 for David. This isn't theory or nice poetry. It's written in experience. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you have that confidence? The resurrection gives us that confidence, nothing else. There is life after this life, real life, true life, better life, forever life, life in the goodness of the Lord. Look at the resurrection. Which means verse 14 is worth saying to yourself, and it's worth saying to others. And I think that's the sense of what David does here, verse 14. It's almost as if he lifts his head and looks outwards to others around him to encourage them. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. To wait is to trust. It's a sign of trust. To wait is to not give up hope. To not turn elsewhere. But to wait. Open-ended waiting is a dying art, isn't it? In our society, in our culture, we don't like to wait. We don't often have to wait that long. Waiting for a bus. Do you remember the days where there was no electronic screen telling you how long the bus would be? You just had to wait and look and wait and look. It's more like trying to cross the roads just here and you press the button. You never quite know how long it's going to take, those of you who live locally. Sometimes you press the button and it's immediate. Sometimes it can take, at least 2 minutes for the traffic to stop. Waiting's hard, isn't it? Patience is hard. In days of darkness, we're not given a time frame. We're not told how long. We don't know when the clouds will lift or the light will shine through, but we're encouraged to wait. And while we wait, we can look to the cross. God is not against us, he's for us. He won't forsake us. We're trusting in Jesus. Jesus was forsaken for us. And while we wait, we can look to the resurrection. He's alive. He's Lord. There's hope through death. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. That's a great verse for us on our anniversary, isn't it? To think this is the end of 1 year as a church and heading into a new one. What a great verse to take into that. But what a great verse to say to each other. Not glibly, not insensitively, but grounded in the gospel, pointing to the Lord Jesus. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? May you have that confidence into this week. And may God bless you. Amen.